I'll take you this evening to the words of John in his third letter, and then particularly entering in through verse 4, where he writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I don't think joy is a particularly easy word or concept to define. It certainly isn't easy to find. When C.S. Lewis wrote Surprised by Joy, it's autobiographical, it's about himself, his some parts of his life. He tells how it was impossible to find joy by searching for it. It was very elusive, like the sand that you might hold in your hand or a bubble. He thought he was there, he remembered experiences of joy, but he couldn't find it until he found something else, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he found that he had joy with him. Perhaps joy is something like when you find something that's a perfect match for what you consider the ideal, the finest, something that you regard as glorious and that you can appreciate yourself. I'm thinking, for example, some people might have had an experience where you would say, yes, that was a joyful experience. It may even be something like the finest of sunsets that you've seen. And you say, well, you could analyze that and you say, that matches exactly what I think is the most beautiful scene that I could imagine. And so on. It might be beauty, it might be excellence. I would say that really joy, true joy, is more than we often think of as enjoying something. We often say we've enjoyed this or we've enjoyed a meal or something. Maybe it's slightly approaching joy, but certainly the joy that the Bible speaks of is something even more than that, something truly satisfying. We see John writing about what brought him the greatest joy. I have no greater joy. This is the greatest joy. What does he say it is? Where does he find it? He finds it when he knows that his children, remember back in the first letter, he writes to the church as my little children, very affectionate tone. But my children, when they walk in truth. John tells what brings him greatest joy. He says it's when you walk in truth. You bring me joy. And you prosper your soul, to go back a little further. I would, for want of a title, I would call this delighted for you. That's what John is. He's delighted for his children. He's joyful on their behalf, for their sake. I want to talk about walking in the truth, what that means, first of all, how that brings him joy, second, and it is because they are prospering their souls. Your soul prospers, back in verse 2. These ideas are connected. What does it mean then to walk in truth, first of all? What does he have in mind? Does he see this in his children that brings him such great joy? Walk in truth. That's what you're doing. We have been looking at the first letter of John in some detail. I'm not intending to do that with this letter, but to take it up, as it were, as something of a postscript to the first letter. And the second letter of John is a transition towards this. What I mean by that is back in 2 John verse 4, you have a very similar expression, but it's slightly different. He says there in 2 John verse 4, I rejoiced greatly, but I have found some of your children walking in truth. Very similar expression. As we received commandment from the Father. Now, do you remember back in 1 John how often he called for his readers, for the church, to keep the commandments? That was one of the tests of how do you know that you love God? How do you know that you are one of his people? It is when you abide in him, when you keep his commandments. It was keeping the commandments was evidence of the love of God. It was evidence of having faith in your heart, of being true. And he's joined those together. He's joined it together as a definition of what it means to walk in truth. Walking in the Bible is talking about how you take the steps of your way. It's a fairly straightforward picture, as it were. And it's choosing the true path. And it's through that, in a very similar way, that the first part of that verse says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. In the third letter, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But that walking in truth is that keeping the commandment as received from the Father, making use of the second letter. Now, our text in the third letter says that this isn't just bringing great joy. Back in the second letter, verse 4, I rejoice greatly. It's not just great joy, but there's no greater joy. This is the greatest joy he has. This pastor, this spiritual father, this one who has been pleading with people on Christ's behalf, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians. What brings him the greatest joy possible in life, he says, is to look out and to hear the reports and to look at the people in the church, my children, and I see you walking in truth. That's a delight to my heart. You walk in the truth. Let's take this a little further, what this walking in the truth is. It's where the truth is laid out in front of you, revealed by the Spirit revealing it, we might say weekly, in the services of the church, and daily, as you read, hourly, as you plead and pray and ask for his leading, continuously. The Spirit will lead, lives in you, if you are his. And it is according to the commandment from the Father, which we have been looking at over some weeks. There's that truth. There's the commandment of the Father. There's the instructions that are laid out in front of us. This is the way to live. That's the truth. Walk in it. Perhaps we're also meant to go back to Jesus' words in the Gospel of John, Chapter 14, verse 6. I think maybe even the children will know this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a slight difference in the way that this verse is recorded. It says walk in truth, not walk in the truth. But it goes back to the Greek texts, and there's a variation in reading. So let's recognize both sides of this. I've talked about the truth. It's laid out in front of you that according to the commandment from the Father. But also, Jesus is the truth as well. Whichever way we do take that, whether it's the word or the person, they themselves are joined together. You cannot separate them. But the big question, therefore, is, are you walking in truth? Are you walking in the truth? The truth that is that account of what is true? It's the pattern for life that is true. It's the path that leads you in and into life. It's not a deception. A deception which will say, well, now this is a great way to go through life. This is a wonderful thing. But where does it end up? It ends up in death. It's not wonderful at all. It's not truth. But the truth that says, this is the way of life, walk in it, and it leads you to life everlasting. But also the truth, walk in truth, walk in the truth, walk in Jesus, walk in Christ, that your life is lived in Him, that He is in you, His indwelling Spirit, life-giving Spirit. You're under His leadership. Where He goes, you go, because you are in Him. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you walk in truth? Do you walk in the truth? How is it with you? How is it with us? Because John says, that would bring me great joy. How is it with you? In your way of life? Is that too private a question? The world around you will say it's too private a question. Will you go along with them? Will you be under their influence? How is it with you? Why shouldn't John, why shouldn't your elders and minister have an interest in this? In Hebrews, the writer says, they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Jesus was like that. In Matthew 23, he says, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. They watch out for your souls. Jesus was watching out for the souls of Jerusalem. Jesus watches out for our souls. Will we come to Him? It was a grief to Him that they didn't, that they were not willing. Over a number of weeks, we've been touching on Paul's letter to the Romans, and in chapter 9, he spoke of his brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, and he said, in Romans chapter 9, I could wish that I was accursed from Christ for them. What's in that heart? What's in that expression? He says, I'm desperately concerned that they should be walking in truth. That's the thing that matters, that the only thing that matters in life. And because they're not, I would do what Moses wanted to do, was to, if I possibly could, I would give it all up myself so long as they could have it. And he actually did, in a sense. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 that he tells his readers, he says, death is working in us, but life in you. He goes that far. He's prepared to die and to go through all the sufferings so long as it would bring about life in the church, or as John calls them, in the children, in his children. If there was one thing that Paul could have from Christ, from God, if there was one thing that Jesus could have, if there was one thing that John could have, their highest wish, because it was his greatest joy that would give them greatest pleasure, it was quite simply that the people God put them amongst should walk in truth. Quite a few years ago, one Christmas, we were giving our boys a gift. It was outside. It was a biggish thing. It was an outdoor thing. And on Christmas morning, we had tied a thread to it out in the backyard. It was a bigger setting than we have at the manse just now. It's a long, long yard. So we tied this thread to it, and we'd tied it, and I think we'd moved it around trees and various things and up the stairs at the back door and in the back door and round and about, and a nice tangled root, and then to the Christmas tree. And they took perhaps a couple of minutes to get the hang of what was expected of them, but then they got this. And we went with them. And I think we were watching out that they wouldn't get distracted by other things along the way, and kept them to that thread, kept them to that line. And they got there in the end. And that was a great joy to us. when they enjoyed what they found at the other end. And I think that's what John is talking about. You're walking in the truth. You're keeping to that thread. It may just be like a thread. It may be all that you have to guide you. But you're keeping to it. Because there's something wonderful at the end. And it brings great joy to him as he looks on. As he's opened up the way. He's prepared the way, as it were. Laying out the gospel to them. But keep true to the path that's led, that's presented. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he talked about himself. He said in chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." There's still a way to go. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." And then he goes on and continues into verse 18. This word walk, "for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That's where this walking in truth leads to. That's at the end of it. That's the prize. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Or we read in Romans 16 this evening. In verse 19, "For your obedience," walking in the truth, "has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Walking in the truth that you'll be glad. Paul was glad. John rejoiced greatly, the greatest of all. In all kinds of life, it's so distressing to see anyone, whether they're careering or wandering down the wrong path. There's you might be familiar with a one-way street going up from town up towards the Mounts. And just a number of times I'll be walking up there and I'll see a vehicle, usually a work vehicle of some kind, and they're barreling on down. And I just wish that I could say, "Hoy, stop, you're not going to be able to get through there." They're going the wrong way. And you want to try and help them. That's what life is about for your spiritual leaders, as it was for John. Why wouldn't you? Even you, why wouldn't you want to stop somebody heading the wrong way? Keep them to that path of truth. And then when they do, when they turn and they find it and they stick to it, standing fast in the Lord, remember, it is a great joy, a great delight, because you know that it's for their good, because that's the prospering of your soul. That was what was in mind in Hebrews chapter 13. I mentioned it a moment ago, where the writer says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls." Why do they say what they say? Because they're careful for your soul. Even to the extent of Paul saying, "Let me be accursed. I don't matter, they do." That's John. That's my greatest joy. It's less about me, it's about you, it's about your souls being well. That was John's joy. It is only a side effect, you might say, but it is an essential side effect. The kingdom of heaven is like that, Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, remember the three stories about lost things? and the sheep, for example. And then Jesus says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's 99, they're safe, they're fine, I must get this one. Just been reading recently someone who lived for many years and studied this, and he lived for many years in the Middle East. And he explains how this shepherd goes out, and if you've ever had anything to do with the average sheep, they're a pretty big animal, a full-grown sheep. And so, do you remember what the story says? It says that he finds that sheep, and that's not the end of the exercise. He takes that sheep, he binds its legs and lifts it up on his shoulders, and he carries that sheep to bring it home. Demonstration and a picture of the great commitment of the Lord himself, but also those who represent the Lord, such as John did and Paul. May it be so for all our spiritual leaders. But there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. God's work amongst us is a shared work. It's something of shared benefit and shared joy. It is not for me on my own. And there's so much evidence of that. This is one of the evidences where you see such a one as John. And his great joy is that there are those who walk in truth. And the joy, the greatest joy, is an indicator that here is the best thing that can happen to anyone. It's the greatest joy because it's the highest blessing. Yes, there are many things we pray for, that God will help us. But this is the one thing you need. One thing needful. That you walk in the truth because Christ is in your heart. There are people all around us who find it hard to understand why some very brilliant people who have the world at their feet, so to speak, go off and do mission work or become ministers in the church. Moses was one of these. He was a brilliant man as he was trained in the palace in Egypt. He counted that worth nothing for the sake of what Hebrews 11 calls the reproach of Christ. Henry Martin is another. You can go all over the place and think of different people. Henry Martin is one who springs to mind. He was a brilliant scholar. Out of nothing, he translated a number of languages, the Bible, into a number of languages under very severe conditions. Martin Lloyd-Jones is an interesting one. He was a brilliant physician. Harley Street, quality. And people said, why are you sacrificing all that to go and be a church minister? And he said, that's not a sacrifice. People find it very hard to understand. But these very people, Moses, Martin Lloyd-Jones and others, they've come to the place where they find it hard to understand why others don't leave behind the world's wealth. That's what John is saying. I could find no joy in the wealth of this world. Or at least there would be no... This is a far greater joy, simply to lead others to life and to Christ. To lead others to find the truth and find the strength and the guidance to walk in it. Because this is for the preserving of their soul. This is for the prospering of their soul. Not gaining the whole world, losing their soul. I don't imagine there was much in this for John. There hasn't been much in it for many who have been spiritual leaders in the church. Except for one of the finest sounds and sights this world has ever known. And that is to find you and someone else, and another person, to find life, real life, new life, to find faith, to find Christ, to find life for your soul. I'm tracing backwards. I've already said that I'm referring to verse 2 with the prospering of your soul. If you trace backwards from verse 4 through verse 3, he is speaking again about walking in the truth in verse 3. And that is his further description of what he has spoken of in verse 2. His prayer in verse 2 is that in all things you may be in health and prosper, just as your soul prospers. 4. How does he know that your soul prospers, that Gaius' soul prospers? He knows it because, and he rejoiced greatly when he heard of these things, the testimony of others that the truth is in you, and you walk in the truth. That walking in the truth is a demonstration of what truly prospers your heart and your soul. That's the line that he's following there. Your soul prospers. It's well with your soul. Your soul is healthy. I care about your soul's well-being. The rest of this little letter extends that same care to the rest of the church, but it's in especially thrown up in two contrasting approaches of some of the people in the church. There was Diotrephes, who was going out for his own interests. But Demetrius, on the other hand, has a good testimony from all in verse 12 and from the truth itself. The immediately following verses, 5 through to 8, are explaining how everyone should, for their own benefit, should also support gospel servants, because that means that you too become fellow workers for the truth. And it's through that truth that you too can know the joy of someone coming to the truth, coming to well-being in their soul. John is able to speak to many people, a number of folk. Gaius is one. There's the church in the previous letter. It seems to be more general in the first of the three letters. He speaks of them as his children, those who have found new life, new birth by the Spirit. And he joys, because not only have they found life, true life, but they're also walking in that truth. So let me ask you, how is it with your soul today? Not just how has it been, but how is it today? Bear with me when it is not well. I too, your leaders, your elders, will be concerned for you. We will not have joy if it is not well with your soul. Joy will be lacking on your behalf. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the church came to that place where those who have the oversight are able to rejoice, to be glad, as John was for Gaius, as Paul was for those that he referred to. Bear with me. Bear with your elders when it is well with your soul. When I can and I do rejoice on your behalf. It's quite some privilege, really, to have your souls as the one thing to be concerned about in life. Yours, in my case, various other folk that I might serve with the gospel, different people around the town, different people around the world. It's quite a privilege to be able to come to this place, seeing this as the chief matter. And if this isn't right, nothing else does matter. If your soul is not well, if your soul is not prospering, nothing else does matter. And it's for this reason that I call on you often in opening up God's Word. This is the call, to ensure that your hearts are right with God. It's not just about keeping the commandment. You cannot do that except your heart is right with Him. But when you do it, it is therefore a demonstration that your soul is right, that your heart is right, that your soul prospers. Is it well with your soul? If it is, in your own heart, you can rejoice. Well, let's share it together too. And let's share together the burden of upholding one another, that each of us might share in that same joy. Make that our greatest joy as a people of God. And therefore encourage each other to walk in the truth, to stand fast in the Lord. Demonstrating, but also to ensure that our souls are well with our God. May He bless His word to each of us this evening. May the joy be His. Let us pray together.